A Sapphire Running Zone podcast.
We love fundraising and we love talking about fundraising and we love sharing our experiences. And today we're joined by Zeb Stone from Donor Republic in New Zealand. Hi, this is Tim, and this is one of our podcasts in the series on fundraising essentials. And Zeb has been in the fundraising world for quite a long time. He's worked for a lot of charities, he's run a lot of races, and he's raised a lot of money. And he's going to give us his thoughts and his tips and hints on some best practice. Zeb, welcome to the Sapphire Running Zone podcast, and we look forward to chatting through how as many runners as possible can support their favorite charities.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. Thanks for having me. Certainly feels like a wee while been in fundraising. So around 18 years in the fundraising sector in Australia and New Zealand, working for a range of different causes. Cut my teeth working with Oxfam and their Oxfam Trailwalker event, which is a fantastic team challenge, 100K being their mark event there. And love the event space, and that's been a kind of constant thing throughout my fundraising career. And it's been really cool to come back to that in my latest role, which is the group account director with Donor Republic, which sees us supporting a range of different organisations in Australia and New Zealand on their event fundraising, which is, really, really cool. On the running side, I'm a pretty keen runner, so have done a few events, not nearly as many marathons as you, Tim, but... I've certainly clocked up a few, including pacing the Auckland Marathon for a good few years. And that was actually spurred on after I ran it for the first time, ran the full for the first time as a charity runner. Did it running as Batman. If you're game, you can find some of those photos out there, which have certainly done the rounds. The world's skinniest Batman. It was such a fantastic experience, and managed to sneak under a time which I thought, oh, actually I loved that and I'd love to come back. And so the kind of pacing kicked off after that. I've done a few for charity, both half and full distance, as well as a couple of ultras thrown in. So certainly love that side of it as well.
Yeah. So what did you get out of from running for charity? Because it obviously is very different, isn't it? Particularly during the training for a race, when it gives you that extra focus. Yes, you've got to fundraise, but you've also got that extra focus and extra drive. And on the day, of course, it's amazing, particularly given what some facilities are better than others at certain races. But what did you get out of it?
Yeah, I think certainly that personal motivation is a big part of that. So just being, you know, that much more, spurred on by the fact that you've got people supporting you. So if you are going for a time or you're doing something crazy like running in costume, you feel really good about doing that. And it just gives you that extra motivation, you know, particularly for these longer events like a marathon. Training can be tough and, you know, can be a bit of a bit hard to keep on getting out there. And particularly if the body's feeling it a bit, you know, having that extra drive is really awesome to know that people are getting in behind you and supporting. So there's certainly that side that I loved. I think just also seeing the impact it has for the causes themselves, you know, for many causes, it's such a big area of fundraising and can be really, really beneficial for them. Seeing that direct impact of what you can help them to achieve and inspiring some support for that is just really cool, you know. So it's a really nice way to be out there physically doing something as well as seeing how that can help some really good causes do something worthwhile.
Because it's not just about raising the money, is it? The profile that it gives the charities on the day, particularly at the bigger events where they have cheer zones, etc. That's really important, isn't it?
Yeah, completely. You know, it's like lots of moving billboards, really. Yeah, it's like getting people out there to run in the charity colours is a great way to get their name out there, particularly for these big events where you're getting a really good team. So for them to get that awareness both at the event itself, but even when you're reaching out to lots of people beforehand, you know, it's really cool that you're spreading the charity message out there and letting people know that they do good stuff and that you know, that's why you're running for them and can inspire and kind of engage a much wider audience than maybe they would otherwise be able to do. So I do think it's a really, really big one, not just in terms of the income and, you know, on the day seeing people out there, but actually being able to reach out to a whole bunch of new people who maybe wouldn't have been engaged with that charity before, which is really, really good.
No, obviously it's hard for charities to attract people to run for them. Some charities obviously find it easier than others, depending on the relationship that the person's got with the cause. So the cancer charities obviously do find it sometimes easier to attract runners. Now, you've worked for the likes of Oxfam, where there isn't that deep personal relationship. In many cases, there is sometimes. But I mean, what challenges did you have when you were in the sector with likes of Amnesty, etc.? I mean, how did you attract runners?
Yeah, and it is a challenge. I think you kind of hit it on the head there, Tim, where, you know, if you've got that direct connection with the cause, there's a nice saying in fundraising that people give to people. And I think there's some things that are true about that where, you know, if those people are people you know and people you're connected with, then the cancer charities are a good example where if you've gone through cancer yourself, then directly affected or a loved one or a friend has, you're so close to that. And so to be able to do something in solidarity or in honor of someone else is a really personal and nice thing to do. But you're right, like for an Amnesty, it's really hard to have that. And so it's important that those causes can really drive into the impact that those, you know, runners will have, because they won't have that direct emotional connection. So you've got to be able to show how running for that cause will help make a difference, and being able to be quite clear about what that does is, I think, you know, really beneficial for Oxfam. We tried to look at ways of looking at specific projects where some of that funding would go through, and some of the ways we could talk about the stories of the people who were impacted there, and again trying to make that connection. So if there was a woman who would, you know, walk for a long, long way to go fetch water, you could link that back to the distances that someone might be out there training or running on race day. So it was trying to bring those connections back so that people kind of understood what it was that they were out there for.
Okay, no, that's interesting. Now, there's obviously two types of charity runners, really. One that's running on a, we call a guaranteed entry, and those runners obviously have a set target from a charity. You have to raise $X thousand or £X thousand in exchange for us giving you this entry. I mean, that's very common in a lot of the World Marathon Majors. There's a few events, as you know, around the world that have tried that model, and some less successfully than others. And then there's the own pace runner, they call the DIY runner in the US. Yeah. The own pace runner is obviously the massive sector, because there's only a certain amount of people that can be able to raise $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 to run on a guaranteed entry. But there are so many runners doing events that aren't even thinking about running for charity. Mm-hmm. These are the own place runners. They've got their own entry in an event, but they're doing, at the moment, then they're generally not raising money for charity. How can we encourage those people to raise something? I know it comes down to an extent, and we talk a little bit about what can the charities do and what can the events do to encourage more and more of those people, even if they raise $100.
Yeah, I mean, I think it does come back to a bit to what I was saying about the about the impact and really showing the why, you know, so trying to show that this is a really fantastic way for people to support, because same thing in terms of supporting charities, there's only certain people out there who would like to give on a monthly basis or support some of their different appeals and campaigns. So that's not for everyone, but something like doing a fantastic event and being able to reach out to your friends and family, you know, there's other people who that will appeal to, but they'll only know if it's promoted to them and it's seen as a legitimate way to make an impact with these causes. And I think that's a little bit on the causes themselves, making sure that people are aware this is something you can do and putting it out there. And like we said, some of those in the medical health space, cancer charities are pretty good at that. They've been doing it for a long time. Other causes, I think, are just starting or could start to let people know that this is a really great way that you can both have a fantastic experience and do something really, really good. So there's that aspect. But I think the other part is kind of showing how people can be supported in it, because it can be quite daunting if you've never done something like this before. Maybe it's, a first time challenge to run a marathon. You know, that in itself is pretty pretty daunting. Mm-hmm. But to add fundraising on top of that, if you've never really done that before, can be pretty hard to see how that would work, and I think that would turn off a lot of people. So I think really showing the support available and how there's some really well-established ways and easy ways to make it happen and work and tried and tested approaches. So charities being able to show how they can support you with the fundraising is I think a big aspect in terms of helping with that. People feeling like it's not going to be so hard.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And it needn't be hard, need it? I mean, a lot of people, or most people, could probably set up a fundraising page, send it out to their friends and family through social media or on email, and they'll probably get $200 or $300 straight away. It really isn't overly difficult, but I think a lot of people think it's a lot harder than it actually is. And I think a lot of people are put off by stories of friends who have had to raise $3,000 or $4,000, but that's probably on a guaranteed entry, not on what we call an own place. So if you've got your own entry in an event, the charity's going to be very thankful if you're out raising $100.
Completely, yeah, anything, right? So had you not run for them, and that support wouldn't have been there anyway. So the fact that you have done something and you have reached out to friends and family is fantastic. And yeah, like you say, it's really some of the things we know work are pretty easy.
Absolutely. What do you think events can be doing better to help spread the message? Because obviously you tend to get a lot of the big races, like the Londons and New Yorks, are very, very good at marketing their charity programs. And it's not just about the guaranteed entries. They encourage everyone to raise money for charity. And when you do an event like London, pretty much the bulk of the field is running for charity. You go to a smaller marathon in another part of the UK even, and hardly anyone is. So what should the events be doing, do you think?
I do think there is some of that, just actually making it a really integral part of the event. So, for the event organisers, highlighting, again, that impact, that, it is something that they want to be able to support, local international causes, and they'll be quite upfront about what they're hoping to achieve in terms of percentage of people actually running for charity, because the fact that it's sometimes hidden on a event website, if at all, is not really doing them any favors in terms of showing that this is something that is important, both in terms of what it can give back to runners, adding to their experience, but what it can help do for the world in terms of really good causes. Like so I think there's a piece there of actually just making it something that they celebrate and and talk about as a really key part of the event. And you only have to look at some of the ones which have, it is so integral to what they're about. I do think that there's some kind of practical things just about making it easy, and some of that comes down to the way in which the registration is set up. And you know, you've got a good platform where even if someone's signing up for their own place, there's prompts after they've got that place about would they like to fundraise for charity. And if they do, they could actually just go straight through and create a page. If they're maybe thinking about it and they want to know a bit more about some of that support, there's a way in which the event organisers or charities could actually follow up with them to help them understand what's involved, you know, maybe some of the incentives that there would be if they fundraised certain levels, that kind of thing. And actually just promoting it more a bit, you know, again, it's can be hidden a bit on different sites, and it's not often that it is often you only get one or two emails from an event organizer mentioning the charity program, and you get dozens about signing up to the event. So I think there's a little bit more about just actually promoting that it is a really good option. So you know, for events, seeing it as a way to actually open their markets as well. So you're not just kind of preaching to the converted, you're opening out to people who maybe might not consider doing the event, but would if there was something, you know, a bigger reason for it. So yeah. I think if they kind of saw it as something which is actually good marketing about, you know, this is another way in which you can engage in this event. And for someone who's, you know, needing a bit of an extra push to run their first marathon. Yeah, if I was a marathon organizer, I'd be trying to find those people.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also great for their social media, because of the runners' stories from people who are fundraising they're just really interesting. And obviously, event directors, when they're trying to keep the social media pages busy for 12 months, not just for the period around the race, these are great stories. And some of the money that people are raising in quite interesting ways, it's good. Yeah. People are interested in it, and it will encourage others to think, yeah, I could possibly do that. And I think one of the really important things here is to talk to runners and tell them what a great day they can have if they run for charity. They'll have a great day anyway, hopefully, but the charity running just gives another dimension. And obviously, me and you worked on the Auckland Marathon many years ago, and well, it wasn't that long ago, but it feels it. And you know, you remember at the finish area where we had all those charity marquees. Now that gave a flavor to the event that was so different than it had had in previous years. People were finishing and they came, those that weren't running for charity were completely unaware really of what that was all about. Those that were running for charity, not just people on guaranteed entries, but a lot of those own place runners, went into those marquees. They had food and drink, they had a massage, and they were thanked comprehensively by you and your equivalents at the time, and thanking them for what they'd done, which was an amazing achievement. They raised a lot of money, a lot of the other runners were just looking around going, what's all this about? And it just gave the finish area a completely different flavor, didn't it?
Oh, completely. And it just makes it that much more kind of celebratory, right? Because not only are you celebrating finishing this event, you know, and hopefully getting through in one piece, but you're also celebrating the fact that you've done something really awesome for these charities, right? So I think there's that other aspect, and it just gives, like you say, just a completely different feel to the event, where it's kind of, it's about more than just the personal achievement. The personal achievement's awesome, right? Don't get me wrong. I've run a lot of events trying to run fast myself, but I think if it's for something else and that bigger reason than the cause, you know, there's some great things to be celebrating. And even as that kind of collective community of everyone doing good stuff for a range of different causes as well, it's really cool. You have some people running for this cause, some people running for that cause, and collectively you're doing something really, really great for a whole bunch of different reasons.
Yeah, absolutely.
A Sapphire Running Zone podcast.
Now, we couldn't have a conversation about fundraising without talking about the dreaded pandemic. What was the impact? Because obviously in New Zealand and Australia, but New Zealand particularly, you were closed for a very long time, weren't you? And obviously it had a fairly devastating impact on the event sector. What was it like in the fundraising space when all this was going on? I presume you all pivoted to virtual like we all did, but grim times presumably for fundraising.
Yeah, it was pretty tough. I mean, a pretty challenging space, and that was everywhere, right? But and events in particular, just really meant a lot of change. So, you know, the cancellations and postponements, even when things were lifting up, it was really hard for events to be able to bank on running. I do remember one of the biggest fun runs in New Zealand, the Round the Bays, had relaunched, and it was all looking good to have their event. And then literally the night before, there was a government announcement about the, you know, going back into lockdown, and possibly that event perhaps you played a part in that, because thinking, do we want 20,000, 30,000 people to come together in this space to do that event? So it was really hard on organisers to think about being able to keep doing these events in that environment. So you just saw so many disappear, really. And some have been able to come back, which has been great. But for some, they just haven't been able to recover because of the investment it takes to establish, you know, an event and keep it running. So that's really sad that some events have fallen off. What was cool, though, I think, in COVID, you know, it was such a hard time for everyone. But what was really great to see was just how much outpouring of support there was. So people were really keen to still support how they could, and knowing that for many causes they were doing it tough, not just in terms of, you know, their fundraising being impacted, but for many they were having to do even more in terms of responding. So that, you know, double-edged sort of income being impacted, but having much more need to service and help. So because of that, I think in New Zealand, there was a lot of outpouring of support, and people were really wanted to get in behind different causes. And if that meant some of your more online things like online giving days or virtual events, some of them did really well. And I think that has been the kind of flow on, odd benefit out of COVID was that virtual events have really expanded and catapulted after that. There's been quite a number that have really shot up. Even with Donor Republic, we do a bit of tracking of how the event sector's going, and it's been really clear that there's been this massive increase in virtual events following COVID, and that's really sustained, and there's still quite a lot of growth in that space. So I think that's one thing that's kind of come out of it, is seeing that you don't always have to physically bring people together for them to have a really good experience, which is,
that's really interesting, because I'm a big fan of virtual events. Obviously, we did a lot at the time, and I could see the value of them, particularly in a training environment. So as a runner, training for a marathon, you know, you do a half marathon in training probably 7 or 8 times. And you sort of come home after having run a half marathon, oh my God, I've just run a half marathon, but no one cares. It's just part of a bigger picture. Whereas actually you could sign up to a virtual half and get rewarded with a t-shirt and a medal or whatever it is from just doing your half. And at least it gives you these sort of interim targets when you're doing your training. And it's, I wonder in Australia particularly whether the virtual thing has got great opportunities given the remoteness of the country and the distances between cities and the travel requirements. I could see it doing well there long term.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is a big aspect. Just it enables you to be much more national in terms of your coverage. People can do it from anywhere. Versus a physical event, which, you know, your market is much more constrained for that. I think there's some which do it interesting where it's a bit of a hybrid, so you still have that ability to bring people together, and I'm a big fan of that, because I do think for all of the reasons we've been talking about, there's a lot that you can get out of being at a physical event, and that experience is quite unlike, you know, just out there doing it yourself. So I really do think there is a place for those, but they are particularly challenging, you know, and even at the current time in terms of cost of living crises and things like that, it is hard to keep them running. Events are expensive.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a hybrid model. I think the opportunities for that are significant. And I've noticed a lot of marathons around the world are keeping, some of them just dumped it because a lot of race directors hated virtual events. It just wasn't what they were about at all. Others saw the possibilities and actually, you know, the amount of potential audience you've got for your marathon if you do a virtual, particularly if you let them do it over a period of different trips. You don't have to run the marathon all in one hit. You can do it over 5 days or a week or whatever.
Yes.
It grew the market massively, and therefore it grows the market for fundraising as well, which I think is really important. That if you get it right and do it properly, this is another fundraising opportunity, which, you know, has to be embraced and encouraged as much as possible. You touched on the cost of living crisis. What impacts that had in your part of the world on fundraising from events?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely having an impact. I think both in terms of events, people were just being a bit more cautious about where they spend. And so for some events, it's meant lower participant numbers. Others, those actually are doing really well because they might have quite a niche, particularly in, say, the trail running space. That's been one which has been really bounced back really strongly after COVID. So it's not kind of across the board. And maybe that's the biggest point around the cost of living at the moment its impact is felt in different ways across, you know, across the population. For some people, they are doing it really tough, and so for them to support someone who's doing something like this is not something which they can stretch to. But for others, you know, they're able to continue on, and it might not be impacting them as much. So so it's quite a mixed bag in terms of what we're seeing in terms of event results and fundraising. So that was very much the picture last year, was some events did really well in terms of fundraising, others really struggled. And some of that comes down to those audiences which they're engaging with.
So do you think
to support people?
Yeah, do you think the average donation value is dropping then?
Yeah, certainly that's one. So the average amount from an individual that someone's giving to a runner, for many that's dropping. Interestingly, though, again, for other events, you know, seeing an increase in the average fundraising. So it really is a bit of a mix of you know, it might be that you're getting smaller donations, but you're able to get more of them if you can reach out to more people. So it is quite a mixed bag. And again, some events have still managed to do really well and to keep growing despite the environment. But it is something which I think through this year is likely to continue to be a challenging space, and that's partly by what we were talking about, and that it's really important to show some of the benefits and the impact that can come from taking part in these events, so that people feel motivated to do so, because of some of these other challenges coming in, they might be less likely to.
So even more reason why you should be running for charity this year,
exactly. Then, and particularly because the cause is really needed, right? You know, so if you're in a homeless charity, for example, you know, the need is potentially greater than it's ever been because of some of those cost pressures. So, you know, I think that's where it's pretty impactful if you can, if you're in a position to be able to run and support, then doing it for them is such a powerful thing.
So if you were talking to a mate who's just got an entry in a half marathon, 10K, whatever it is, they've never run for charity, what would you say to them?
I'd say, yeah, I'd say go for it. You know, I just say it's such a fantastic thing to do. And from my own experience, you know, I've gained so much about, yeah, just being able to support some incredible causes and do something really positive. So if you're out there and you're planning on running anyway, just something to add to that experience in a whole nother way. And it's much easier than you think, you know. So for many thinking that it's really hard, yeah, there are some just really good tools now. Fundraising pages are the best they've ever been, and really easy to push out there in terms of social media and things. And charities have really good knowledge, and that's part of our role is supporting them to maximize the fundraising from that. And so they're really keen to support as much as possible. So it'll be much easier than you think. And hey, why wouldn't you? If it's going to add so much to the experience, you're going to feel great afterwards. If there's a marathon, you might even have some great benefits at the finish line. You know, maybe they've supported you even with the training. All of these kind of additional aspects to it. It's, again, for me, it's a bit of a no-brainer. Why wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Brilliant. Look, that's been really, really good. Don't go away. I'm going to come back to you again in a second. But thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. And hopefully this will inspire others to get out there and do their bit. Thanks very much, Seb. All right. See you later.
Thanks for listening to this Sapphire Running Zone podcast. Keep checking back as we have lots more podcasts coming soon.